This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We are having an interview with Dr. Magowa right now. And speaking of, in accordance with its legislative mandate, the Council on Higher Education has begun an institutional audit of all public and private universities within South Africa. Now, for those of you asking what exactly is an institutional quality audit, also known as an IQA, it is an opportunity that provides, quote, an entire opportunity for the entire university community, as well as to reflect on their purpose here at MUT. And it also allows for MUT to reflect on its practices as well as identify good practices within areas of improvement, which will of course ultimately lead to improvements all across the university. Now, the Quality Management Directorate at Mangosuthu University of Technology is in charge at an institutional level of the quality assurance processes. MUT ensures that the quality, appropriateness, as well as the integrity of its teaching and learning, assessment, research, and community engagement is met, as well as to strive and exceed the minimum requirements of the university. Regulatory and professional bodies through its quality assurance and enhancement processes. Now, through its quality assurance and enhancement processes, MUT ensures that the quality, the appropriateness, and integrity of its teaching, learning, assessment, research, and community engagements do meet to strive and exceed the minimum requirements of the university, the regulatory board, as well as the professional bodies. Now, like I said earlier, with me on the show was Dr. Manyene Magowa. I hope I am pronouncing your name right. Good doctor, I hope I'm not butchering for that. He has a PhD in education, as well as the current acting deputy vice chancellor, who is responsible for teaching and the learning portfolio, as well as research at MUT. Good sir, I hope you are having a lovely morning, and welcome to the show
This morning to share with you on the institutional quality audit, as we are expecting it. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Now, like we had said, the good doctor, we will be introducing us to some of the processes that go through it. So as we are currently 3 months into 2022, how has the 2022 year so far been presented?
Well, if you talk in the context of the academic year, not much yet, as you will know that we are still busy with registration and dealing with the challenges that are posed by registration. But we hope that we'll be able to wrap that up very soon, in time to begin the academic year. As for 2022, looking at our pass rates and possible success rates, we feel we have done a good job so far. And we're hoping that that will move into the next academic year and that we will do even much better.
No, that is great to hear. Now, do tell us a little bit of the process of what goes into the institutional audit.
Well, the institutional audit is it's a process that has been initiated by legislation. Maybe let me start by saying, by talking about the CHE, which is the Council on Higher Education. Mm-hmm. As you will know, the Council on Higher Education has been created by the Higher Education Act with the purpose of ensuring that higher education institutions in the country, both private and public, comply to set standards, and that they provide a quality service to students across the country. So that is their legislative mandate. And as one of the areas that they are focused on, they focus on auditing higher education institutions using a set of detailed criteria and standards to run those audits. Other responsibilities of the CHE include program accreditation, and they also include program reviews. Right. So that's part of what they do, and the audit is just one of the things that the structure is tasked to be responsible for.
Right. So while researching, I had come across an audit panel when it comes to the university. Can you tell us the function of the audit panel?
Well, when an audit panel comes to a university, or any institution, they will normally come after a whole lot of processes have taken place. They don't just come. The whole process starts with the CHE notifying an institution of its intention to run an audit. That has happened with us in 2021. We were informed that the CHE intends to audit us together with other higher education institutions.
Right.
And once you have been informed, you are then engaged on possible dates on which these processes will take place. First, the institution is expected to prepare a self-evaluation portfolio using the standards that have been set by the CHE. It takes a couple of months to prepare a self-evaluation portfolio,
right,
which is what we are busy with now at MUT. And once the self-evaluation portfolio is concluded, it is then submitted through an institution's statutory structures. All the committees would deliberate on it and approve it and
right,
let it go through. But then the final structure within the institution that will engage with the self-evaluation portfolio is Senate. And once Senate is happy with it, then Council will approve the portfolio, the self-evaluation report, which is then submitted to the CHE.
Right.
Once that has been submitted, by that time a date would already have been agreed on when the CHE will send the audit panel to the institution. And so they will take the self-evaluation portfolio and share it amongst the audit panel, who would have been selected during the entire process. Mm. So by now we know who our audit panel members are, and we have agreed to that panel. And so the self-evaluation report is then given to the panel members, who will prepare for the audit site visit. So when they come to the institution, they will spend about 5 days here from Monday to Friday, engaging with all stakeholders on the report. And the most important thing also is that the report doesn't just go on its own. It has to be backed by evidence, which will be kept by the institution and shared with the panel. So that's how it goes. That's the responsibility of the panel.
Now, this, of course, does sound like quite the lengthy process to get started and to get the entire audit done. Does it happen every year, or is it something that takes a bit more time to conclude with?
It doesn't happen every year. The first audit that we had was in 2011. MUT, I think, was almost one of the last institutions that were audited in that cycle of audit, which possibly started around 2007 or so until 2011. So it was quite an intense process, and at the time I was responsible to manage and lead that audit. It was quite an experience,
right,
to go through. So as an institution, at least we can say we have some level of experience and knowledge of what an audit entails. So since 2011, you can see we are now in 2022. The next audit is taking place roughly almost 11 years later.
So it certainly does take some time.
It takes some time because the process, it's a very intensive process.
Right.
Once an audit has been done, there will be a report that will be produced by the audit panel, and that report will be sent to us to read and agree or disagree with it. And once we have pronounced our comments on the report, it will go back to the CHE, who will then finalize it and publish it on the internet. It becomes a permanent record,
right,
for the public. So it's important that we are up to speed as far as this audit is concerned. Like our 2011 audit, that report is on the internet and it's,
right,
not going anywhere.
So with the entire process, once the process has been done and it has finally been approved through all its channels, what then happens after the report? What happens then once the report has been finalized and all things have been set with approval?
Once the report has been finalized and published, the institution is expected to write an improvement plan.
Right.
The report will contain recommendations and commendations, if there are. Recommendations focus on those areas of improvement. The panel will tell us and say, we recommend you do 1, 2, 3. We recommend this and that. It will be quite a detailed set of recommendations for us to focus on. And if there are any commendations, like commendations would be, you are doing well in right. this area and therefore keep it up, you know. But you remember, you will not be commended for doing what you are supposed to do.
Right.
You know, you will not be commended that your lecturers go to class. You will not be commended that your students attend lectures, because that's mm-hmm. what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, in idiomatic speak, they say you don't praise a fish for swimming, because that's what it does.
That's what it's supposed to do,
and
right.
that's what it's supposed to do. So those things that we are supposed to do, we need to do them well, and we need to excel well, because we are funded to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that will attract the attention of the panel members if we don't do them well. And commendations will be areas of good practice, areas where we would excel better than other institutions,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the CHE has said to us that those are the areas they would like to compile and share across the sector for other institutions to see that the institution 1, 2, 3
right.
Are doing these things and would like you to pay attention to them. You may want to duplicate what they do.
All right. Now, the report is, of course, made of a 4-point scale. Can you explain to us exactly what that means and what goes into that 4-point scale?
Well, I'm sure you are referring to how the report, not necessarily the report, it will be the different standards that are in the report. Remember
right.
that there will be standards in each focus area.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll have issues on governance, teaching and learning, community engagement and research, etc.
Right.
So in each standard, after the audit has been done, a finding will be made,
mm-hmm.
Which would range maybe in this manner. One, the panel may find that you are not functional.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. It's called not functional. Or they will say the area needs substantial improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will say it's functional. And then the other one, they will say it's mature.
Right.
So you are either not functional, or you need substantial improvement, or you are functional.
Right.
Or you are mature.
Mature.
By mature, likely, it just simply means that you're standing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've done everything that needs to be done. And in that particular standard, they feel there isn't possibly anything that they can recommend that you improve on.
Right.
But you will know that you never arrive in any situation, and
mm-hmm.
even if they say this area is mature, there's always room for improvement to do better in any other area. So I'm sure that these are the four areas that you are referring to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with this audit coming up, is there anything that we should be worried about in terms of MUT with regards to this audit, and is MUT in any way in trouble?
Well, as for worried about, I'm not sure that I could go to that extent. Possibly
right.
Consent. I mean,
mm-hmm.
every one of us in this institution, whether you are in administration, whether you are in the academic business or any other area, every one of us needs to pull themselves together
mm-hmm.
and make sure that they prepare for the audit and cooperate with the Quality Management Directorate, which is doing very well in leading this process.
Right.
And all we can do as an institution is to work with the directorate and help them to put together the self-evaluation report and help them to put together the evidence that is required to do that. We have been a little slow in taking off with our preparations, but I would like to appeal to all of us that we shouldn't like sit back in our corners and think that the audit belongs to the quality division. They will see to finish how they come up with it.
Right.
In the end of the day, the quality division are just there to facilitate the audit. They are not the ones who will be audited. Mm-hmm. It will be the institution that will be audited as a whole.
Yes.
And pronouncements will be made about our entire business as an institution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to wake up after the audit report has been published and said, yeah, but if we could have done 1, 2, 3, this wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are things that we need to do in advance. The other interesting thing about an audit is that you don't prepare for an audit in a year or in less than a year.
Right.
You prepare for an audit over time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had time between the last audit and now to do what all higher education institutions do, and
right.
that is to provide a good quality experience for our students. So you're not going to try now in 2 months to try to prove that you're providing a good experience for your students. It's either you have been doing it or you haven't been doing it.
Right.
You know, you're not going to try to put together a concocted story now and say, this is what we do for our students. The people who are coming to audit the institution are very experienced
mm-hmm.
administrators and academics who can see through anything that you're trying
to
hide.
And they know what to look out for. Mm-hmm.
I've been part of an audit of two audit panels
right.
In the past for the University of Venda and for the Val University of Technology, which is an audit that we did 2 years ago. You know, it's interesting what you say as auditors,
right.
you know, after interviewing staff members. I mean, you the kind of things that you'd say, no, they were lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true. Okay, we don't believe what he told us. So what we're going to do, they do what we call triangulation.
Mm.
So they will call 2 or 3 more people to verify what someone has said to see if it is true. And often, if someone comes and disagrees with what you've said, then there's a problem. Because we have to sing, all of us, from the same hymn book.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't be talking a different language to the auditors. But this is what happens, I mean, if you're making up a story.
Right.
If you're making up a story, it's easy to establish.
Mm-hmm.
We call you in, we interview you, tell us one story. We say, okay, thank you very much. And then we'll call someone else.
Right.
And then they are likely not to say what you've said. And then we call students, and we want to hear what the students have to say. So then you compare the stories of the different stakeholders, and you realize, no, there's a problem.
Mm.
Yes. So we are at a point where we have to acquit ourselves, possibly,
right.
That we've been doing well as an institution, or not doing well,
okay.
whatever. Yeah. But I'm sure that we are in the position to put together a good account for the institution.
Of course. Now, it is important that MUT gets that seal of approval to say that this is, of course, a quality institution doing all of the right things. Now, why is it important for MUT to wear the Council of Education quality badge?
Well, I don't know what you mean by quality badge.
Well, by, in essence, getting that seal of approval, getting that that quality
the endorsement.
From that endorsement from the higher education.
You mean what is it that we need to do?
Pretty much, yes, sir.
Well, everything that I've said up mm-hmm. to now, that's mm-hmm. what we need to
right.
to do. The best we can do at this stage is all of us to contribute to the development of our self-evaluation portfolio and mm-hmm. put together a good reflective portfolio or self-evaluation report, as they call it. Mm. Well, the self-evaluation report is not just a factual report to say this is what we do as MUT. It's supposed to be a reflective report. Yeah, this is what you do. This is how you teach. But the bigger issues beyond just reporting on what you do is what you are doing working? Mm. Is it achieving what it's supposed to achieve? Is it meeting your mission and your vision goals? You know, is it impactful? How do you know that it is impactful? You know, and if it is not impactful or effective, what are you going to do to improve on that? So that is part of reflecting of what you, on what you're doing, more than just saying we are doing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
You will say this is what we're doing, but you need to evaluate what you are doing on your own. That is why it's called a self-evaluation report.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own. You put what you do here. You step back from it. And you evaluate it.
Yes.
And you tell the auditors that this is how I see what I'm doing as an individual or as an institution.
Mm.
And this is my verdict on what I do. And they will come and say, yeah, we agree with you or we don't agree with you. So pretty much what we need to do is to do a good job mm-hmm. in developing a good self-evaluation report. Remember that the audit is not like a test. I saw
right.
one of the questions said, what should we do to pass the test? It's not like a test that you write and obtain
right and wrong
a mark.
Answers. Right.
No, you're not going to fail the audit and you're not going to pass the audit. What is going to happen is that you are doing what you are supposed to do
mm.
as a higher education institution. You are meeting your mandate as a University of Technology. Or you're not meeting it. You know, remember, it's called a quality audit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what we are doing meeting the quality standards or set by the Higher Education Quality Committee? And remember, it's all about the student. I mean, universities exist because of students. You know, in the end, are we providing a quality teaching and learning experience for our students? That's what it boils up to eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't boil up to a university doesn't exist because of staff. It doesn't exist because of me. You know, it exists because we are here to provide a quality teaching and learning experience for the students. So everything else that will constitute this audit will point out to one direction. Is this institution succeeding in producing quality graduates for the South African community?
Right. Now, with the numbers of staff and students at this institution reaching well into the thousands, what are some of the challenges facing some of the auditors that will be coming in here today or will be coming in to audit the school? What are some of their challenges that they'll be experiencing with the numbers that their school currently holds?
You mean challenges facing the auditors?
Yes.
Well, not really much. When auditors come to an institution,
mm-hmm.
They have a program. You know, they will send us their full program before they touch the ground here. So we will know who they want to talk to. They will not be talking to everybody.
Right.
But they will be talking to constituencies.
Mm-hmm.
They will be talking to management, I mean, executive management, senior management. And even in senior management, they will say, we're asking 5 people to come to this session.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be talking to people in HR and people in finance. They will indicate, we want one person here, one person here. So the institution will then decide, who are we sending
mm-hmm.
For those sessions? And even in students, you can be sure they will talk to the SRC, possibly the entire SRC. And they may ask students in different programs to come and sit in the audit panel.
Right.
And they will also talk to council members. So the numbers of students and staff don't pose much of a challenge to the audit panel in that they have to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But they will decide that based on the self-evaluation report that we will have submitted, okay?
Right.
To verify the claims that MUT is making, we will need to talk to these people.
Right. Now, we have a question from one of the listeners who is asking, my daughter has graduated with a BTEC qualification. I realize that MUT has new degrees. Is the BTEC now inferior or null and void?
Well, not MUT only. During the advent of the BTEC, there was what we call the HEQF, mm-hmm. which is called the Higher Education Quality Framework, within which was located the National Diploma, which is what MUT was offering at the time. The HEQF was then revised, and it became the HEQSF, which is called the Higher Education Quality Sub-Framework. And with the HEQSF, the National Diploma was done away with, and it was replaced by a diploma. So they removed the word national, and it's just diploma. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change the quality of the program. It changes what it is called and possibly the way the content of the diploma is arranged, you know, largely. And the story about the BTEC, it's the same. BTECs existed in the HEQF, but with the Higher Education Quality Sub-Framework, the BTEC was replaced by advanced diplomas, mm-hmm. you know. So an advanced diploma is still the equivalent of a BTEC.
Right.
But we can't offer BTECs anymore because by legislation, they don't exist within the new framework. But if you have a BTEC, you're as good as you're having what is here now. So
right.
The BTEC has been phased out as a program that is being taught by universities of technology. But that doesn't take away the quality of the work
quality
that
still stands
at that time. Yeah,
right.
It stands.
Now, you had mentioned that the preparation for the last audits was over a decade ago. It was close to over a decade ago. Now, does the audit panel look at the previous audits and then see the changes that MUT has made from then up until now and then restructure a new audit based off of that? How does that work?
That's a good question. No. I mean, when we started deliberating on the new audit cycle, I sit in the HEQC board
right.
myself. We looked into the issue of the previous audits and now.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people who were feeling, yeah, we need to start from where we left off. We need to start by looking at whether institutions have fulfilled their improvement plans, etc. But there was a dominant view that says, no, there should be no link between the last audit and this audit. And if you look at the framework that is governing the present audits, it's not the same as the framework that was used in the first cycle of audits. So there is a departure from the last audit to now. So there is no connection.
Right.
But when we started with the audit, I said to my colleagues at MUT, even though this is the position of the CHE,
mm-hmm.
that they will not connect the two audits together, we as an institution need to connect it. We need to look at, that's where we started. I did a presentation to senior colleagues in the institution about the recommendations of the previous audits. And I said, let's look at this. Have we done everything mm-hmm. that was identified then? Because I said to them, even though there will be no connection in this particular audit, it will be, for me, it will be an indictment if we are told the same things in 2022 that we were told in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just forget as an institution the audit and the findings.
Right.
If they commented that you need to improve your student support, you know, in order to enhance your success rate,
mm-hmm.
you should have improved it by now. If they say the way you do assessment needs to improve, if they said then that you need to develop policies or review the policies that you have in order to improve your practice, you should have done that by now.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that the HEQC deliberately said there will be no connection. But as an institution, we can't say we're ignoring what happened then and we just want to see what's going to happen now. And chances are if you do that, you will be told the same things that you were told then if you haven't focused on improving them.
Right. Well, we would like to thank Dr. Makoa for taking time out of your morning in order to give us some insights into the auditing process and what goes into it. We would like to thank you for taking your time out to explain to us and also to be here on MUT Radio.
Thank you. My pleasure. It was a pleasure to be here.
Okay. And that there was Dr. Manyane Makoa, who has a PhD in education and is the current acting deputy vice chancellor, who is responsible for teaching and learning portfolio and research at MUT.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.